Welcome to your Commissioners Court meeting for September the 27th, 2010. We will begin our meeting with an invocation led by Commissioner Domain and the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Senegal. Will you stand?
Will you join me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we pause to acknowledge your majesty, offer our praises to you, and ask that you lead us and guide us so that the things we say and do be pleasing in your sight for the betterment of our community.
Please join Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. We'll take up the items under purchasing. Item A, approved specifications for IFB for Sabine Natchez Navigation District Control Building, Round One Disaster Funding from the Texas Department of Rural Affairs. Item B, award IFB Precinct One Road Construction for Jefferson County to Triple B Services in the amount of $1,317,891.40. This Round One funding from the Texas Department of Rural Affairs. Item C, award Precinct Two Road Construction, Jefferson County to Triple B Services in the amount of $1,174,721.40. And again, this is Round One Disaster Funding from the Texas Department of Rural Affairs. Item D, award Precinct Three Road Construction to Triple B Services in the amount of $2,523,301.72. Funding Round One, Texas Department of Rural Affairs. Item E, consider and possibly approve the renewal of term contract for Portland Cement for Jefferson County for the term of September 27th, 2010 until September the 26th, 2011 with Ash Grove, Texas, LP. Item F, consider and possibly approve, execute, receive, and file a professional service agreement with Garver Engineering in accordance with RFQ for professional engineering services for the Southeast Texas Regional Airport for an airfield geometry study. The study and fees are approved by the FAA through an AIP grant number 27 and is 95% funded by that grant. Item G, consider approve and execute and file this professional agreement with Garver. Item H, consider and possibly approve, execute, receive, and file professional service agreement with Bash, B-A-S-H, Inc., in accordance with RFQ Wildlife Hazard Assessment in the Southeast Texas Regional Airport. The contract and fee are approved by the FAA through an AIP grant number 27. Again, is 95% funded through that grant. Item I, consider possibly approve, execute, receive, and file a professional agreement with Sheldon and Dunham PLLC in accordance with RFQ, the development of US Highway 69 Frontage Road, Southeast Texas Regional Airport, for legal services to prepare a master development agreement with TFC. Item J, receive and file the MasterCard multi-card issued by Wells Fargo Bank National Association for use by Jefferson County in accordance with RFP, Jefferson County Depository. And finally, item K, consider and possibly approve disposition of salvage property as authorized by the local government code for broken or obsolete items. Is there a motion on these? Have a motion by Commissioner Sinegal. Second by Commissioner Arnold.
A question, Judge.
Question.
To the engineering department. I know we went out to find out some information on this triple B. How many local employees going to be used in this thing? Do we know or do we have anything set up as such?
We don't have anything set up as such. They are a company out of Huffman. And I do not know if they will be bringing all the employees in or if they will be bringing locals in. But it was not a requirement in the contract.
From now on, every contract that we have, I should hope that this court should start leaning in this direction. And we tie down some local purchases of materials, local labor. I think we need to start staying fast to that fact.
Okay, anything further? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it, it's unanimous. County commissioners, consider the presentation of a petition regarding constables. I think Ms. Rhonda Dugas is here to speak to that. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Rhonda Dugas. On July 21, members of this court, with cold-blooded prejudice and without conscience, voted to fire 9 deputy constables. This was a vindictive personal vendetta and a betrayal of the taxpayer and county employee. 22 departments have not cut 5% from their budget. Why not? Ford Park could be shut down and we would have more than enough for these jobs. Where's the equality in this government? The nurse practitioners department, which is politically connected to this court and not a constitutionally mandated department, cost $288,091. Mr. Domain's cousin is one of the employees whose jobs was saved during budget hearings. Capital projects became more important than men with families to support. Since August 20th, a petition was started to show you proof that you do not have the overwhelming support from the taxpayer, and if this was put on a ballot, it would not pass. Over 3,500 taxpayers have signed the petition. If you won't listen to one person, will you listen to 3,500 taxpayers and voters, or how many will it take? Obviously, the public does not agree with your decision. Elected constables' requests to speak at this court have been denied. When they asked for meetings, they were told no. Even the public has been straitjacketed and silenced on this issue at court. Why can't the deputy constables use their training and help patrol the rural areas which do not have enough law enforcement available? The constables have shown remarkable dignity and restraint in this difficult time. They are asking to keep 4 deputies. There's no justifiable reason to deny them. They have provided valuable service for the taxpayer. They've been over backwards to accommodate your demands. I publicly thank them for their many years of service. And to the deputy constables forced into retirement, I am proud of the time you have spent guarding our taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a petition you want to present?
Judge, this is not an agenda item for action, but just for the record, I have no relatives work for Jefferson County.
Thank you, sir. I had one more time and she quit. Okay, item B. I think we ought to take each one of these individually. Item B, consider and approve order to adopt a tax rate at 0.365 cents per 100 valuation. The tax rate is 0.33104 for maintenance and operations and 0.03396 for debt services. Is there a motion on that?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it. It is unanimous. At this time, we will conduct a public hearing on the proposed 2010-2011 Jefferson County budget. And I think we have several speakers. Let me just take them in the order I'm finding them. Mr. Charles Wiggins.
Good afternoon, Judge and Commissioner.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for letting us speak today, and I just wanted to state the fact that thank you for Rhonda for helping us with this. We did get those signatures, and it wasn't just Ms. Dugas is doing it. It was an effort of all of the constables and the deputies and family members, and I would ask that you would please look at those signatures and see the support that we have. If we had had 2 or 3 months, I feel sure we'd have 10,000 signatures for you to look at today, because we didn't stop. We were going this morning, and never once did I have anybody tell me that they didn't want to sign that. You know, it's something that the public seems to be behind. You can see it in the polls. You can see it in the comments. I just asked today, I've lost one deputy in my precinct. George Ned was hired by the sheriff, and I do appreciate the sheriff for that. I do have one deputy that's still without a job, Jeff Courts. He has an 8-month-old child, 6-month-old daughter, and 2 teenage children. And I know it sounds like I'm pulling at your heartstrings, but I am. He needs his full-time job back, and I'm asking today that you see fit to allow that to happen. I have with me today a couple of folks I think very highly of. This is my mother and father. To me, they're heroes. And I think today might be a chance for you guys to be heroes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Joe Stevenson. Constable Joe Stevenson.
Gentlemen, basically to say the same thing Constable Wiggins said, I too was one of the precincts that were asked to get rid of two deputies, unfortunately. One is already gone. He has found employment with CASA. However, there's one left who's a very good employee. He's more than just a deputy. He's a firearm instructor, classroom instructor. And there was a lot of tax dollars spent on those certifications. And that's going to be tax dollars down the drain with the departure of this deputy, Donald Jackson. It's just unfortunate that our budget hearing immediately turned into a battle. I've never seen that in this county before. If something that was undeserving, uncalled for, unacceptable, we've had to deal with it. I'd like to thank every taxpayer that has been supportive to us all over this county and every precinct in our efforts to keep these jobs of these innocent employees. Thank you very much, Ms. Dugas. Commissioner Alfred, Commissioner Senegal, the support you all given us, we'd like to appreciate you for that. Of course, three votes is greater than two. We would have hoped that Commissioner Arnold would have been the swing vote to swing in our favor. Unfortunately, that hadn't happened. I like to think there's still a possibility that that can happen before Judge Walker say court adjourned. We ask that you consider the petition, consider the number of calls that were made, consider the ones that were not returned. There were a lot of people who said they called and sent emails, never made contact. That's their word. I have no reason to doubt that. This is a sad day in Justin County if this thing remains like it is. It's a sad day for innocent people to have their jobs taken, supposedly because of, we don't even know the reason. It went from budget reasons, from paper count, to too much police work, to we don't know why it's happening. Because we never were allowed the opportunity to sit down and talk like men and like elected officials. So once again, I ask that you would consider the proposal that Deputy Constable Carl Holmes has proposed to the court. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Deputy Carl Holmes.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners.
Yes, sir.
I emailed you all a proposal, I guess about a week and a half ago, regarding taking into account that we've had vacated positions within the respective constables' offices and hoping to salvage at least four. I've tried to visit with some of you to try to see if we can maybe accomplish this. You know, I'm trying to look for this as a compromise between us. This thing's been rocky throughout, but I think it is still salvageable on everybody's accord. And I'm just asking that at this point in time, I know we've had, when I put in for it, we had four, and now another position has been vacated with Precinct 2. I'm just looking at trying to sustain the deputies that we already have that are still left, and, you know, however y'all, the court decides on the fourth one, that would be up to the court at this time. So if I appreciate your consideration on that, you know, it's been a long road. I appreciate if we could just, let's just say that constables are law enforcement. You know, I hate to hear when people say it's they're not. It dishonors the badge. It dishonors the memories of those men and women that have, you know, given their lives in service to their respective communities. So let's keep that in mind when we're talking, and let's try to have a more of a dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Sam, were you going to speak to the budget?
I can. I would like to. Yes, and
I couldn't figure out on here what you were going to address.
Okay. Well, I was going to address the regarding the constable's petition.
Okay.
But I can do about both of them. I'm really, really alarmed about the way this whole budget hearing been handled. And I think it was almost embarrassing to say that I live in Jefferson County. Because when grown people or adults won't sit down and talk about issues that affect people in this community, then we should get alarmed about who we elect and all this. The way the whole budget hearing was handled, I thought, was an embarrassing situation to Jefferson County. And I think that when we as people in the community, elect someone that we got to do a better job and select better people. I think it was handled very poorly. The petition the things that they had to go through to sit down and have a meeting to talk about issues that are affecting people that are being laid off, I think is an insult also. I don't see the need for that. And I think we should be above that, and I think we should be able to come together and sit down and talk about any issue that affects this community and this county. And I think that's why people elected you all to do that. And I think we did a very poor job of it. And so, you know, we talking about losing 9 constables, people that's going to protect our streets, and all of you know, all of you sitting there know that we can't afford to lose a peace officer in this day and time. And we need these people to protect our community and to continue doing the things that they've been doing. And if there's questions about how they accomplish these things, then you need to sit down and work that out. I'm hoping that you guys can sit down and do a better job in what we've done in the last couple of months here, because it's an embarrassing situation to me, and I happen to pay taxes here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cross? Mr. Nathan Cross?
Good afternoon, Judge.
Good afternoon.
Commissioners, my name is Nathan Cross, resident of Jefferson County for about 55 years now. I'm here today not for or against anyone. I'm here for sound government practices and principles when it comes to forming a budget and operating under that budget. I know it's a hard job. I appreciate the time and effort you guys have put into it. Again, I'm not speaking for or against any particular line item. Just know that I am for, and as a practicing CPA in Beaumont, and currently serving as the chairman of the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce, we support conservative business practices in running all government offices. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Guidry?
Good afternoon. I heard the constables and the deputies speak from their heart. I speak from my heart, but I have prepared a statement that I would like to read. I can honestly say in the 5 years I have been a part of the budget process, this is the most disappointing one. Perhaps if the court had enlisted the cooperation of all the elected officials and department heads at the outset of the budget process, then we might not be witnessing layoffs and reduced services to county citizens. I requested the deputy clerk that I deputize all be returned to the county clerk's payroll and was refused unanimously by Commissioner's Court. These clerks, effective October 1st, 2010, will no longer be deputies of the county clerk's office, thus reducing the workload of some of these clerks by 85%. It amazes me that the judges can hold on to employees with less work while the constables are losing employees supposedly for less paper to be served, not taking into consideration the added security they provide to the county. It is disturbing that the county library that serves our rural area is not considered by the Commissioner's Court to be vital to those residents and our constituents. But it is important that elected officials and other employees maintain their car and cell phone allowances. I know that we, as county elected officials, must be responsible, but we should first explore all alternatives before resorting to cutting employees that provide valuable services to our constituents. I pray for the employees and their families that are affected by this year's budget debacle, and I pray that the Commissioner's Court have an open mind and explore all avenues of savings before cutting employees and services, if not this year, certainly for future budgets. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Stacy Hill.
Good
come in front of you again as last week, and when I presented the petition and gave the speech before, I just wanted to reiterate that it is still being brought to my attention as I do my everyday shopping and walking around town that many people are very concerned that they're going to lose their library and that we as rural residents will have less options also in our safety with the constable jobs. I just wanted to point out that even though it's been very difficult to get anyone to be able to speak to you until the day of the budget signing, I hope that there was consideration made since last week and that you just take into consideration that I wouldn't want this to be remembered as the commissioners who lost the library for us. That's all.
Thank you, ma'am. That concludes the speakers who have signed up to speak, and we will therefore close the public hearing. Item B, D, to adopt, receive, and file 2010-2011 Jefferson County budget.
Judge.
Sir.
Before we go there, I think we need to at least talk about a couple of things. One, the proposal that raise the mics up because I don't think everybody can hear. I see people grabbing their ear. The mics, who controls the mics? Okay. All right. I think we need to at least talk about the proposal that Constable Holmes submit it, and at least give some dialogue on it. I have reviewed your petitions on the bookmobile. I'll be honest with you, the things that was brought up during budget in reference to the library and the case made that it was in the city limits, that was a problem. I would hope that, and we expanded the staff to stay until December, because the original proposal was to cut it off effective October 1. I couldn't go with that, so that I was bound into at least December. I hope that somewhere down the line, we may be able to look at some form of bookmobile for the people in the rural area. I can see possibly if we can do that one day. The constable issues I'm back at, and I'll say this, I don't think that anyone on this court, and I hope I am right with this, tried to demean the office of constable that is not law enforcement. Because I do not want to have individuals that's doing their job in the public. Some individuals are not law enforcement minded or respectful of it. And I don't want us to put them in any harm's way. So I want to make sure that it's stated from me, and I believe this court, we know their duties. We know their sworn office. And if you do get out of line in front of constables, they have a sworn oath to the state of Texas that they will follow. And that means put you in jail if they have to. So I want to make sure we put that on the records from me, at least at one. And the other thing, Judge, before we get there, I would hope that we consider Cosper Holmes' proposal. And I think that proposal called for 4 deputies, if I'm not mistaken. Auditor, I want you to speak to that.
The proposal we received was to adding back 4 deputies. In the budget you have now, you have added one, or the proposal is to add one back for Constable Precinct 4, Trey Hands, so it's already included. So actually, the proposal by the deputy constables would be looking at adding back 3, because you've already got one in there. So the cost of that, this is how we calculated it, the cost of those 3 full-time deputies is $241,934. In that letter, Constable Holmes spoke to members of the bargaining unit are still willing to defer the 5% wage increase. That 5% wage increase is still in the budget. So if that was to come out with this proposal, that's less $48,623. So you would be looking at a net cost of $193,310. You can follow all those. And that would be basically adding back. Now, we have it with just the open positions or the open personnel in Constable Precinct 1, Precinct 6, and Precinct 7. That's how that proposal would be to add that back, because you've added back one to Constable Precinct 4. But you're open to, if you want to consider this proposal, the one thing we need is direction of where you're adding, what constables you're adding those positions back to. I can't take a vague, we're going to add three back, and I can't figure out where they need to go. We need to, if we're going to consider adding any more back today, we need to know what specific constable they're going back to.
That was going to be my question, is that I heard you mention the precincts and Deputy Constable Hall.
Yes.
Have y'all determined who would get the constables back? We have six constables' offices.
At the time, Commissioner, my proposal was based on what was already with us. So, I mean, the deputy in one, the deputy in six, and the deputy in seven, and then two, I think the deputy decided to retire, so.
What about eight?
Eight was already gone. He's already found another job. I didn't even take those into consideration.
So what I'm hearing is that your proposal is for four, and Patrick, you said three, right?
Yeah, because we've added one of those. Well, position back.
They've already added a position back, which is precinct four. I'm not going to argue against it.
But that would take care of your four, or that would be an additional?
That would be my four. That would be four. I'm just looking at a halfway point here. But
I think one thing that if there is support for that, we need to possibly address precinct two. He would be the only one left with one deputy.
Because so the original proposal would be four. Didn't you said a deputy retired or something?
He had two leave in that.
Okay.
He had one open position where a deputy had retired back in July. And now I just saw that Deputy Lewis is retiring.
Wait a minute, he had a deputy on the chart that retired. We swept that deputy during budget. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took two away from Rockford.
Left him with one. And I want to make it very clear that I don't support any layoffs in the constable's office. I graduated in 1988 from Lamar University in criminal justice. I know how valuable policing is in Portland, in Jefferson County, in the world. And I want to say that my initial objection was the process. After I went through the last 2 months with just understanding, I'm kind of like Constable Stevens, I'm kind of confused of why we're doing it.
Right.
I've had several conversations, and I would hope this court would consider the initial reason I was given, even though I felt it was a little late, was that the numbers are down. My proposal is that we add one constable to each, one deputy constable back to each constable, give them a year till next July when we do the budget. If that's the reason, the initial contact I had was that the numbers are down.
Six.
That's the first thing I heard. I'm like Constable Stevens, I've heard several reasons now, but I'm sticking with what I heard first because I heard it loud and clear. We give each constable or deputy back until the next budget cycle. We look at these numbers, if that's the reason, we look at those numbers. Because I really don't think it's fair to just start picking and choosing. I don't like being divisive. And when you start saying three deputies, that forces an issue between the deputies, which puts us back in another And Patrick has just stated that he needs to know where they're going.
Exactly.
Unless we're going to decide that right now, and I see no documentation on where they're going to go. That's my proposal to the court, this court, judge and court. And we give them 1 year to get those numbers up. I've heard that we're going to be facing hard decisions again next year.
Possibility.
But laying off the constables was brought to me 4 days before budget hearing, to be in the weekend. I don't know when it was decided. I know I didn't get involved in the initial decision.
Yes.
So that's my proposal. And Patrick, I'd like to know the numbers on that. And we give them 1 year, and I'm saying this, where y'all can show that if that's the reason, I'm gonna say that very clearly, the numbers are down, that you get those numbers up, I don't care what you have to do, show how much money you're producing for this county, and convince the new court that will be coming on in 1 year, or less than 1 year, that you deserve having that deputy, and maybe even more. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Senator, you said you agree with what I said. We don't know what's the reason for this layoff. Without anything against Constable Trahan, I'd like to know what's the reason for adding the deputy back. Only one. And we all lost them supposedly for the same reason.
I'm going to address that in a minute.
I got 403.
From my perspective.
And Commissioner Senator, I think it would be more understanding on the number thing if y'all would ever fully understand the complete duties of the constables and the deputies and not base it on paper count, because I haven't heard, and nothing against you, Ms. Raymond, Sheriff Woods, or any other elected official in here, Judge Maynard, Ms. Gidry. I never heard of any other elected official having to produce numbers to show how many warrants the sheriff's serving, how many papers Ms. Raymond's issuing, how many papers Ms. Gidry's issuing, things like that. I never heard that before. The only elected officials have to deal with the numbers game and get slammed with the numbers games or the constable. That's unfair.
Well, I didn't mention that, Constable, and I know you wasn't totally
no,
direct.
Not to what you
yeah,
said.
I understand.
The court. But when I address, I address
yeah,
the court.
Yeah, and I understand that. Yeah. And my position on that is this. I think Commissioner Alpha stated it very well. You guys are law enforcement. Anybody that misunderstands that, that's their personal opinion. I stated when I had a situation with Constable Rockford on last year's budget, that if a bank is being robbed and I'm in jeans and a casual shirt and I walk up to that bank, they're gonna think I'm just a patron. If you walk up in that constable uniform, they're gonna know you're law enforcement. It's that simple to me, and they're probably gonna shoot you on sight. So that's the difference. You're law enforcement. In my mind, it's very clear. I respect other people's opinions, but my mind is very clear. And that's the only reason I could think that they would want to put one back in Constable Trahan's, is because we need law enforcement in that area. So that clears the whole picture there. But also we need law enforcement across this county, which is why I object to laying off law enforcement. Thank you.
You know, yes, there's a need out there. And I don't think any of the constables would ever say that Constable Trahan doesn't deserve one, possibly more, if the taxpayers were able to afford that. But the lives are no greater out in the rural areas than they are in the city. My precinct just happened to be within the city limits. And it's my duties. I was elected. I feel I belong to the taxpayers as long as I'm in office, just as you. And when you outgrow them, you're gonna draw yourself an opponent and possibly be put out of office. You know, that's how we perform our duties at the request of the taxpayers, because if we performed our duties based on sometime court opinion opposed to law, we'd be in trouble. we'd be in trouble. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know if the courts are aware, I've got three deputies, and we're losing two. That leaves me with one person. Hearing that some know and some don't. No, Judge, Mr., we cannot do a job, we can't run a department with one man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Because I want to make sure, you had a person to retire in July, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that was before budget hearings, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And now, you did not get a chance to rehire a person?
No, sir, I had bids out to do that, and after budget, they pulled it. Fully application.
Was he in the process?
He retired July 31st.
Oh.
No, he retired before July.
Wait, let me ask you a question. HR, was he out seeking someone to fill the position during that time? He was? Court, I'm going to be honest with y'all, court. This is one that I have a real concern with. If he was out hiring, because I know of incidents after the budget hearing, after all the hearings we went through, some people have been hired. I know of incidents. So I have a concern with that.
My chief deputy retired way before July, way before budget.
Commissioner, just to clarify, I'm not sure we're on the same page as far as I represent, but he had posted that position because he had put in his retirement for July. We had posted the position in anticipation of retirement. When was it posted? I don't remember. Was it posted before we brought them in the budget?
Yes, sir. He retired way before budget.
So basically, you have how many? You and one other?
What do you call it?
Right now, I've got two. Vacation. One retired this Thursday. Yeah, so he had no choice at the sign up retirement. We lost two candidates.
We're talking about Dickie White, right?
No, sir. Dickie White, we're talking about Alton Lewis. Dickie White's been retired.
No, Dickie White's last day, he has regular hours worked on 7:30, July 30th, which was a Friday.
We're talking about two different things.
Okay, Alton Lewis, when's his retire?
This Thursday.
Okay, he's his Thursday. So.
Thank you. I would.
Let's put them back 1 year.
Okay, that cost is assuming the not deferring the 5%, that's instead of the proposal of the three at 100, net cost of 193, that's net cost of $357,000.
They're willing to give the 5% back, regardless of what happens here today.
Yes, and we're still willing
yeah,
to do
that's,
that.
And I would, if any of these motions to add back, I think you need to include that acceptance of that deferral, because we'll have to have some other court action on that.
So move. Include the 5% deferment.
My original position at the time of budget and at the time we voted on the constables and their position was that we needed to cut 9 positions. My decision was based largely on the fact of the gross reduction in paper served. I heard what Constable Stevenson said about we don't evaluate some of these other departments by numbers. I have stated this, I know, for 4 years, and I believe it to be an accurate statement of the law. By statute, the only 2 duties of a constable or a deputy is that of serving papers and serving as a bailiff in the justice court. Nothing in that statute provides that they need to be engaged in law enforcement activities. There is no question that every constable and every deputy in Jefferson County is a certified peace officer, certified law enforcement officer. But that is not the job. Again, the job is serving papers and serving the justice courts. A couple of more things. What we see here is on a very minimum basis of what's happening in other counties in Texas. Dallas County, for example, yes, Dallas County is considerably larger than our county. But in that county, due to budget restraints, they are laying off 130 Where you getting at? I was getting to that, but I didn't understand the interruption. Oh, you can't? I'm not going to start over. Dallas County, for example, is cutting 193 positions. 130 county employees will lose their jobs. 80 of these 130 employees are deputy constables. It's happening in a lot of places. I regret that it's happening here. But as said before, our duty as members of this court are to the people that pay our salary and your salaries, and that is the taxpayers. I would like, before I close, is to try and dispel what I believe has been advertised. Well, I know, I don't believe it. Advertised on one of the local radio stations in a commercial that has run many times. The first time I heard it, something didn't sound right. So I went to that radio station, it was KLVI, and requested a written script of that commercial. And I did apparently hear what I heard, that, and I'm not going to use the language in that commercial because it's really just quite offensive. But it states that this county is spending $6 million to decorate and renovate our offices. Ladies and gentlemen, not one dime of that $6 million is being spent to renovate or decorate or spruce up any office in this courthouse. That $6 million, if you will look, hanging around all of the courthouse at the scaffolds, that money is being spent in an effort to impede the deteriorating posture of this very old building that was built in 1931. Two things we're trying to do to help minimize that damage, that continuing damage, such as this termite, is the water coming in to this building from weather situations. That is what that $6 million is being spent for, and a telephone call to Mr. Rayo, our county engineer, or the auditor, could have perhaps dispelled that rumor. So I just simply want to say it isn't true. Now, finally, my original position was to cut nine constable positions. I am only wavering in that in one regard. I am in favor of cutting eight positions and not the position of Constable Trahan. Constable Trahan is by geographical location compelled virtually daily to the role of law enforcement. Many times, that department is the first and perhaps sometimes the only responder to criminal events, serious automobile accidents, They do not have the luxury and support of other law enforcement agencies in all of Jefferson County. I think we have 3 deputies patrolling the rural areas. Therefore, Constable Trahan and his personnel have to fill that void, and they do it, and they do it well. And that is why I am in favor of reducing that 9 cuts to 8 so that Constable Trahan may retain a deputy. That concludes my comments.
You know, Patrick, I have one thing, and I appreciate what the judge has said. I have one thing. If it's $310,000, I'll make a recommendation. I know we always talk about essential things first. There are some departments around here that's not essential by no form of the stretch of the imagination with me. I recommend that you go and visit with Ford Park a 1-year basis. Let's cut it down. Let's do like Commissioner Senegar said. Let's let the constables have an opportunity to do what we have already granted them. We gave them the tools to raise those papers up. We haven't given them the time. I recommend that you go to Ford Park, cut $110,000 more out, and let's keep on moving. Now, that's where my proposals say we go and get the funding.
Is there any further business on the public hearing? All right, the public hearing is hereby closed. For further comment, item D, adopt, receive, and file the 2010-2011 Jefferson County budget. All in favor say aye, or do we have to have a motion to approve that?
Judge, I recommend that we take it out of sequence, and you do it with the constable's situation out. Well, we have an open vote on that proposal that was put up, motion and second, not with the budget.
I beg your pardon, I don't think I followed that. Take what out?
Constables, all of the constables out, and let's go with a motion that was put up in the public hearing, vote on the whole budget, and vote on the constables separately.
But the agenda item, sir, is to adopt, receive, and file the 2010-2011 Jefferson County budget. And that is all a part of that budget.
Mr. Attorney, what I'm asking, is it any way possible to do?
Commissioner, it all would have to be a part of a single motion. Okay. The agenda item is to adopt the 2010-2011 budget. If there are to be changes in the proposed budget, that would have to be a part of the motion, which according to my notes, we don't have a motion on the floor yet on this item. But it would be, for example, move we adopt the 2010-2011 budget with the addition of deputy constables and positions, whatever the 3 constable positions were that were proposed. If that motion received a second, then it would get a vote. And it would be an either up or down vote, depending on what that happens would dictate how we would go forward.
But would a no vote on that, I want to make it very clear that I'm not objecting to the overall budget.
No, no, I understand
okay,
that motion.
Okay.
I understand that, but it would simply be because then the motion would be on the floor, would be the proposed budget as amended by the modifications stated in the motion. That could be to add the library back in. It could be whatever that turns out to be. But as we sit here right now, there is not a motion on the floor.
It was asked for a motion. I make the motion that we move to go forward with the present budget with the present amendment there, and that is the add in the 6 constables positions, the 6 constable positions, and with the funding, even add to that, have the auditor's office go and visit with Ford Park to get the funding.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
No. the noes have it. It's a 3-2 vote.
Judge, if I may, I'd like to offer a motion that we adopt the budget as presented in this document, which includes the addition of the replacement of that one deputy constable position in the rural areas of the county.
I have a motion and a second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
We have 3 ayes, 2 noes. The ayes have it. Okay, was that the, oh no, one more on that. Item E, consider and ratify the property tax increase reflected in the adopted budget. This item is required by House Bill 3195.
Judge, I move for approval.
Have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Discussion?
Judge, I think we owe it to the public if the auditor would explain why we're having to do this to be in compliance with the law.
We did keep the same tax rate, but even if you keep the same tax rate and you generate more property tax revenue, which we will because we have some properties that are under a Chapter 381 agreement and some other properties that went up. But basically the statement says that we're going to have, it'll raise more property taxes by $3.4 million. But one thing we don't get to include in that is how much we're going to plan on paying back on our Chapter 381. That doesn't address that in that House bill. And that amount is actually going to be, hang on one second, $6,228,000. So taking that payment back into case, that's where you get our $3 million decrease in property tax revenues that's reflected in this budget.
So it's because of the economic incentive that we gave the 381 that we're having to add whatever that
right
tax income yeah is, but then we turn around and give them back actually more than what our tax rate
yeah
would generate.
I mean, you
this,
had,
year.
This year you had property tax valuations go down in some areas, and then you had new property tax revenue came on from new properties added. And those new properties added, the significant portion of that was those plant expansions for Motiva and Total.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, resulted in a net loss of $2,660,972.
Yeah, it's closer to $3 million.
So the money's coming in, and we're actually then turning around and giving it back.
Correct.
We have to count it coming in, but we can't show it or count it going out as
yeah
far as
the yeah, we have it reflected in the budget, but for this statement that's required by this House bill, you have to put it in this exact language.
See, otherwise, it would have been a decrease of over $3 million.
Yeah, about $3 million.
Okay.
And on that, don't they have to follow certain rules and regulations that's put out in that abatement agreement?
Yeah, there's, okay. I mean, there's some we're looking at.
Right.
Right, and that's what I want to reiterate. Jeff Brannick, Attorney Brannick, stood at that podium, and he said that we really need to look at those 381 agreements. I totally agree. If we're going to be giving money back, and I want to put all the industry on alert, that we need to look at each agreement with a fine-tooth comb. And if they're not hiring, my unemployment rate in Port Arthur had gotten up to almost 60, we have 15-point-something%.
Oh, boy.
And there's no way we should be returning money to these plants with the biggest expansion in the world going on in my precinct. And of course, myself and Commissioner Alford has had several meetings with Motiva to try and get them on track. Valero, be on alert. Any other abatement agreement while I'm on this court, we're gonna look at with a fine tooth comb or whatever you call that.
Amen.
Because I cannot honestly support giving money back to industry with that type of unemployment rate and the influx of outside workers. Thank you.
Very good. Good
Judge,
job.
I certainly appreciate the comments that Commissioner Senegal and the concerns that both he and Commissioner Alford have expressed, but I'd like to go back to my first years on Commissioner's Court when Judge LeBlanc and I were meeting with plant managers in private.
They told us that they were, in fact, in the mode of controlled evacuation out of the United States. And I want to say that one more time. The plant managers told Judge Richard LeBlanc and I that they were in the mode of controlled evacuation out of the United States. Now, we derive about 60% of our tax revenues from heavy industry. Without that heavy industry, this would be a ghost town. It certainly is a fact that we expect the area refineries to make a reasonable effort to employ local labor, local contractors, but at the same time, they have to employ people who have legitimate skills that can go out there and do work. They also have to have employees that can pass a drug test. Now, I recognize your concerns and Commissioner Alford's concerns because we all share that concerns. I have some concerns representing Mid County because Port Arthur is, in fact, at times told the area refineries that they don't care about the rest of the county. They only care about Port Arthur residents when, in fact, it's a Jefferson County abatement, not a Port Arthur abatement. The other thing is that we're going to have to impress upon these young people that they don't somehow deserve a job, that they're not entitled to a job, that they, in fact, have to earn a job. They earn it by getting education and training and have a marketable skill like we all have had to do. So I don't want to just slam the plants as if they're not making any effort. Some of them have made very little effort. I'm not going to name those today. But we also have some companies that have gone overboard. They've actually started schools, put kids through training, and some of those kids really did not take advantage of that. It's been one of the most eye-opening things for me to see kids that had a chance to go through a training period and get a $60,000 a year job that at the end of that training period could not pass a drug test or, in fact, did not even finish the training period when, in fact, they would have had a job at the end of it. So it's a very complicated situation. The fact is, if you look at the traffic around Jefferson County, our highways are full of cars. That's a good thermometer of our local economy. When I had a daughter who just closed a store in Austin because of the economy, when she opened that store, I believe there were 16 stores in that shopping center. When she closed, there were two other stores left in that shopping center. We're not seeing that in Jefferson County. So before we slam these companies that are spending billions of dollars here, we do expect them to make an effort to hire local people, but let's be honest about it. Some of these people that are unemployed don't want a job, have no marketable skills, and will not get off drugs long enough to be legitimate employees. So it's a very complicated situation. I'm just putting that on the table because we all need to recognize the real world that we're living in, and also the real world that these refineries are living in. They can build these plants somewhere else. They don't have to build them in Jefferson County. So let's be thankful for what we have and try to improve on it without killing the goose that's laid the golden egg. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Domain, Judge, if you don't mind. Basically, I was on the city council in Port Arthur for three terms, from 2002 until I won the seat to be here. I've been lied to by industry. I had and still have in my possession almost 47 applications, kids that graduate, because I'm a coach, was a teacher, was on the city council, of people that graduated from LSU, Lamar Tech, UTA, Blinn College, Junior College, all over, that never got an interview, that I would go to my grave betting are drug free. They never got an interview for a permanent job. Now, that clears up that part of it. I would bet my life that they're drug free, because I don't recommend kids that I know or suspect on drugs. Second of all, Flora and Bechtel Jacobs sat in the city hall in a meeting and stated that 95 or 98% of the people they test pass the drug exam. Flora, that's the two, that was the major contract. contract at Totel, I believe, at the time, and then Becton Jacobson's at Motiva. That's their two top guys. State made that statement because I asked them. I said, is it a drug problem? They said, no, 95, I can't remember, but it was in the 90 percentile, passed the drug test. I said, well, why are you not hiring them? We're working on it. Okay, that was back in May. The next thing, my background in construction, I started in 1978 through the Carpenters Local, and I made the statement to every refinery that I sat down with that I know the people that's working in your refinery because I came through the trade unions with them. Some decided to stay. I went on to teaching and coaching. Some of them my age, 50, some 40. These people are out of work. This is not people that's just getting out of high school that's on drugs or not capable. These are, I can go now and use my carpenter skills other than my health and weight and put up a house. I mean, because I learned a trade in 1978 through 82 that would carry me the rest of my life. I know the people. I worked in the industry. I worked in the refinery. Half of what they're doing around this building, I did. I put scalps up. And that's not to brag. That's just to say that it afforded me a lifestyle and some interaction with people that I know are out of work right now. That's all I'm saying. And I don't blame the refineries. I blame elected officials and people that are giving abatements that's not holding these refineries to compliance. If a child is running around the house bad and you don't correct it, that's your fault. And that's what I feel. I'm not bashing the refineries. I'm saying that they have a responsibility because our sales tax is down, is what I'm getting. So some of these people that they're employing are not buying maybe a six pack or a case of beer, but they need to spend that money here if they're not gonna stay here, if they're gonna be employed here. I went to Houston last week and almost got ran over at 5:30 by people trying to get out of Motiva and one truck passed me in Winnie. So that's telling me something very clearly, and I dare anybody to just go park on 73 at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and watch that traffic from Motiva, Valero, Totel head out with their checks. And I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just saying I've done homework on this, and I've done some extensive homework, been involved, people walk in my office every day asking about jobs. Chief Miller, Sheriff Woods, and the sheriff's office can tell you. I know who the criminals are. When they walk in there, I tell them, I say, I know you have a problem. I know you're on drugs. Get cleaned up, son. I'm not going to recommend you, young lady. I'm not. So that's not even the issue with the people I'm sending that are unemployed. Thank you.
Commissioner, you and I are really on the same page. I'm just trying to say it's not a cut and dried situation. It's a very complicated situation. And some of the plants have not done their part, in my opinion, but there are a lot of them have gone overboard in working with the chambers of commerce and different training facilities to try to get people with legitimate job skills. And you're right, there are some people out there with good educations and good training that don't have a position, but it's not a real simple situation. It's a very difficult situation, and I applaud the companies that have gone overboard to try to honor the spirit of their tax abatement.
Judge, I have a few comments about the budget, kind of just for closing, please. First off, I want to thank all of the elected officials and department heads and the auditing office for this very, very difficult and challenging budget that we've had this year. In the 6 years that I've been on the court, this was absolutely the hardest. We had to make some very difficult and tough decisions. Some very unpopular, as you have heard today. Also, I want to say that we actually trimmed between 11.5% and 12% out of our expenditures that this county spends the taxpayer dollars in Jefferson County as compared to what we had budgeted for this past year. I think that's a huge accomplishment. It's unfortunately, it came at the expense of some folks, and it's not popular with anybody, whether you're in the public sector or the private sector. It's something that's going on every day in the private sector, and unfortunately, you know, whether it be the government or industry or business, we're all faced with some of these difficult decisions. Secondly, I want to say that the the opportunity that we had to go with all of the department heads and elected officials to try to carve out these dollars was an eye-opener for myself, even after 6 years. I think it was the most intense discussion that we've ever had to date with the individuals and trying to find places where we could cut money. We cut out travel money. We cut out part-time help money. We cut out expenses, overtime. Yes, thank you, Commissioner. That was your big issue. I'll give you credit for that. So, I mean, we did spend grueling hours up here at this table and hopefully to the benefit of the county taxpayers of Jefferson County. The 8 deputy constables, and the library personnel were not the only ones that were eliminated. We also eliminated about 12 or 15 other vacant positions that will not be filled because of the budget issues. So I just want to make it perfectly clear, you know, this was not taken lightly. It was a very difficult and challenging time. There were some compromises offered to the constables, which was declined or turned down. So I will go on record as stating that. There were some meetings that I had with them individually. So it was not a closed meeting in all cases, as it was alluded to. But I will say this, that, you know, I can't say enough about all the other folks that did voluntarily come forward and cut their budgets. And for those of you who did it involuntarily, I think we will survive. I think next year it may be as difficult as it was this year, but I'm praying it will not. And I hope that we can muddle through it and all benefit from it. And I apologize for the families and the members of the people who have lost their jobs or will lose their jobs over this. And it is a very unfortunate situation, but sincerely hope that they are successful in finding new positions. Is my understanding of the 8 that were impacted, there's been at least 5 or 6 that have found employment elsewhere in either law enforcement or similar type of work. I know it's not what they chose to do. It wasn't, you know, voluntarily, but they have managed to get jobs. In this economy, that's pretty difficult to even find positions right now anywhere. So with that said, again, Patrick, your office, friend, thank you for the hard work. Commissioners, Judge, thank you all for putting up with this, and of course, elected officials and department heads, and thanks to the community.
Judge, can I make one additional comment? I think it's important to for the employees and for the taxpayers to understand that the only way this, even with these drastic cuts, the only way it's a balanced budget is because we're taking $6 million out of savings. We have about $18 million in savings that we can spend without going below the appropriate minimums. Is it $7 million, Patrick? What we actually used? No, we're using $6 million out of this budget to balance this budget. The point is that at this rate, we only have this year and 2 more years of savings. After that, if the economy does not improve, what we did this year is going to look like a walk in the park for the future court. About 80%, I'm just going to use a broad number, about 80% of the county's budget is personnel. We're a service organization. Most service organizations are very, very heavy in personnel. You can't cut gasoline for patrol cars. You can't cut those things that are needed to perform the duties, those expenses, the automobiles, the asphalt to build roads, all those things, you need those unless you just drastically cut your services to the public. So the reason I mention that is where you have to cut is personnel. That's the only area where you can really make any significant reduction in budget. That's just a fact. It's not an opinion, it's a fact. That's where you have to cut if you're going to cut the budget. This court has to be proactive in trying to determine where they can cut over the next couple, this year and the next couple of years, without significantly impacting our delivery of service. I think what the court did this year was painful. I probably lost a couple of friends over it, because I have there's some constables and deputy constables that I consider friends, at least up until now. I still consider them friends. They may not consider me a